Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to learn more about their services at orthosensi.com. That's orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there. Glad to be with you on this Monday evening. A beautiful day here in Eagle Country. We're going to have a beautiful week as well, which is a good thing this time of the year. And this is a fun time of the year for the sports world, particularly high school athletes, as we're getting into postseason play. We're going to be talking about the IHSAA Wrestling Regional from Richmond and Jeffersonville over the weekend. Girls basketball sectional play coming to an end. And we'll also talk about the girls swimming and diving sectional and who's advancing in those particular sports. So without further ado, we're going to jump right into this because we do have Dr. Gordon Yun from OrthoSensi that's going to be joining us in the second half of our show. So stay tuned for that. But let's jump right in and talk a little wrestling because we have, count them, 35 student athletes from the area advancing to the semi-state. We'll break that down a little further here in just a moment. We'll want to go through all the weight classes and talk about the individuals that are moving on, and also want to give a congratulations to the East Central Trojans because they won the team championship at Richmond over the weekend. Franklin County second, Milan third. We saw those three be the top three at the final level as well. So kudos to East Central, and kudos to all the individuals that are moving on to the semi-state. Let's jump right into it. 106-pound weight class, Heather Kroll of Northeastern, first place there, but you do have Bryce Bruns advancing as the third-place finish from Franklin County. He won his third-place match over Caden Beagle of Greensburg by fall, just under 3 minutes. So Bruns, 29-10, just a sophomore, going on to the semi-state. At 113 pounds, it was Braden Voles of Eastern Hancock getting the best of Matthew Baylor out of Milan in the championship match. That was the first loss of the season for Baylor, 43-1, just a sophomore, loses by decision 8-2. No other local wrestlers moving on in the 113 weight class, again from the Richmond Regional. At 120, Cole Freeze of Franklin County, the winner over Jackson Carr of East Central. That was by fall, 318. Cole Freeze, 35-7, a junior moving into the semi-state. Jackson Carr, also a junior. He's 29-10 on the season. And, well, it was a sweep at 120 for our local teams as Adam Brewer of Batesville finishes third, defeating Lucas Richards of Milan in the third-place match. So all four of those young men moving on to the semi-state. At 126, Colin Troyer of Franklin County, the winner over Zane Bagley of Eastern Hancock, winning that by decision 7-6. Great matchup here. Troyer, 38-2 as a junior, defeats a senior from Eastern Hancock who's having a nice season at 39-5. And Liam Hubbard, just a sophomore at South Dearborn, finishing fourth at 126, loses the third-place match by decision 5-3, so hard-fought against Connor Frazier out of Centerville. At 132, a couple of local wrestlers moving on. Brogan Rollman of East Central, the third-place winner over Kyle Bolzer of Franklin County. That was a fall, 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Rollman gets the win to improve to 27-11. Bolzer falls to 26-11. At 138, Landon Walton of South Dearborn falls in the championship match to undefeated Gavin Whitehead of Newcastle, 31-0. The senior defeats the junior by total fall. Score was 20-5. 152 is when that match was cut off, but Walton going to be moving on. Brady Merck, fourth place from East Central, lost in that third-place match to Cale Creech of Centerville, decision 5-3. At 144, Nyden Usen of East Central loses in the championship match to Osha Phillips out of Centerville. Usen, as a 32-5, just a sophomore, went 5 minutes and 41 seconds before losing to Phillips. And Trevor Brunn's going to be moving on for Franklin County, lost in the third-place match by decision 11-7 to Gavin McFarlane of Richmond. But Brunn's at 28-10, moving on to the semi-state. Lawrenceburg's Braden Tudor, first place at 150. He's 25-1 on the season. Defeats Logan Schott out of East Central by fall in that championship match. No other local wrestlers advancing at 150 pounds. At 157, Caleb Wilburn of Milan having a great season, 43-2. Wins over Brody Wingate of East Central by fall. 244. Wingate, a freshman, drops to 24-12. And in the third place match, David Mayer of Batesville wins over Denver Campbell of Rushville by fall 349. Mayer increasing his win-loss record to 31-5. At 165, Damian Dance stays undefeated, 40-0 out of Batesville, defeating Jackson Prater by fall 110. And in the third-place match, it's Caden McClellan of Milan winning over Dominic Shelby of Eastern Hancock, also by fall. Caden McClellan, 31-15 on the season, just a sophomore standout on the Milan team. At 175, Travis Riley of East Central moving on, finishing second, losing to Sam Pavey of Rushville in the championship match. And Cameron Gilb out of Milan defeats Drake Rohrbacher from Lawrenceburg in the third-place match. But those two gentlemen going to be moving on. Looks like Rohrbacher actually suffered an injury, so we'll see if he's able to give it a go at the semi-state level. Breck Bowman of Franklin County, the winner at 190. He defeated Nathan Schaefer out of Newcastle by fall in the championship match. Bowman 38-2 heading into the semi-state. Brendan Coulter out of East Central, he was the winner in the third place match over Caleb Cohey of Northeastern. Won that match by fall, just under 3 minutes. Coulter 19-6 heading to the next level. Braden Rouse of East Central 36-2 on the season, the champion at 215 pounds, winning by fall 220. And in the third place match, Zane Richardson, a freshman out of Milan, defeating Andrew Jones, a junior out of Batesville. Zane Richardson 40s and Jones 25-6. Area wrestler is going to be representing Southeast Indiana at 215 in the next round. And in the heavyweight division at 285, we have one moving on from Southeast Indiana. That's Max Amberger of Batesville. Lost in the championship match to Michael Henderson out of Northeastern, but Amberger having a great season, 38-2. As he will head to the semi-state. So the breakdown was 35 from the area. I should mention the four young men from Switzerland County. Ethan Rose was second at 106. Lost in the championship match to Talon Jessup of Columbus East, but Rose having a great season at 40-5. Looking at the 120 weight class, Dakota Fields, he finishes fourth, moves on to the semi-state, lost by decision 7-2 in the third place match, but 31-10 on the season. Peyton Richards was the champion at 126, won by major decision 11-2 over Gage Rutan of Columbus East. So Richards remains undefeated 42-0 heading into the next round. And finally, Gabe Rose at 144 is the runner-up, lost by decision 9-2 to Caleb Cooper out of Columbus East. Rose 22-5 heading into the semi-state. So congratulations to all of our area wrestlers moving on to the next round. And we will certainly be tracking their progress and talking about who's advancing on to the state next Monday right here on Crunch Time. Next up, let's talk some high school hoops. Girls basketball sectional over the weekend. I'll start in 4A. East Central went out in the first round to Whiteland. Just wanted to give a final update on that sectional. Whiteland does go to the championship game and falls to number 8 Franklin 45-42. So the team that knocked out East Central gave the number 8 team in 4A a run for their money. EC ended their season 7-17, and admittingly, from Coach Kevin Moore, a rebuilding year for his Lady Trojans. Lots of youth and inexperience that won't be so inexperienced next season, and lots of time to improve between now and then. So I'm really excited to see the growth of this team between now and the start of next season. 3A sectional 29, we covered this one at Lawrenceburg High School. Number 5 Greensburg 21-4 on the season, crown champion on Saturday night. They went through Franklin County, Lawrenceburg, and Batesville to win their first sectional since 2020. Wasn't easy for the Pirates. First round withstanding, Lawrenceburg and Batesville made it tough on them. Their game plan was to really slow the ball down, limit the amount of possessions Greensburg got offensively because they're such a dangerous team scoring the basketball. But Greensburg also plays really good defense. So if you're going to stall, slow things down, you still have to be efficient on that end of the floor. Lawrenceburg was able to keep it close up until halftime, trailed by 6. Actually had a lead a time or two in the first half. Greensburg came out and had a really strong third quarter, pulled away, got up double digits, and Lawrenceburg could just never score enough to get back in the game. Batesville tried to deploy the same sort of tactics on Saturday night, and both teams were able to hold Greensburg to 40 and 41 points respectively, which is 20 points below their average. So kudos to Lawrenceburg and Batesville for playing really, really tough against one of the top teams in 3A. But at the end of the day, Greensburg still got baskets when they needed them, hit their free throws, and they played strong defense because, you know, when you score 40 points in a game, you think that you're maybe not going to win a lot of the games that you score 40, especially when you average 60. But when your defense is so good to hold the other team to 20, then just goes to show you Greensburg can win in a lot of different ways. They're going to play Scottsburg on Saturday, the number 8 team in 3A. That'll be at Charlestown. So Scottsburg's got a little bit of a home court advantage. Don't have to travel as far. Both teams 21-4. Should be an excellent basketball game. Really quickly on the teams that seasons have come to an end, Lawrenceburg 14-11 this season. All of their players will be back. Not one senior on that team. So imagine they're going to have a heck of a year in 2024-2025. South Dearborn, 3-20 on the season. I thought Bernadette Wisman played absolutely phenomenal in the first round against Batesville. Natalie Cantrell, Riley Legale, those three graduating. Gracie Messmore will return as their leading scorer. Lakota Vincent, a key contributor this past season, will be back as well. Batesville at 16-10. They are losing Claire Sanner, good senior player for them, but Allison Peters, Sophie Giselle, Lydia Haskamp, among others, will have them right back in the conversation in the EIAC next year. And Franklin County at 14-8. Are losing Nicole Mears, really, really good player. It's going to play college basketball, averaged close to 20 points per game this year. Ruby Singer had a big sophomore season. She's back. Madison Sunderhouse, good player as well. So a lot of good players coming back in the EIAC. The unfortunate thing for these teams is Greensburg is also loaded with juniors, sophomores, and freshmen. Team going to be loaded again next year. 2A, South Ripley's bid to win a fourth straight sectional title was stopped by North Decatur. 57-39, the Raiders won a close ball game on Friday night against Switzerland County. And then North Decatur, eventually got the better of them on Saturday night. They're going to go on to play Linton Stockton. But looking at this South Ripley team, Reese Obendorf, Lydia Cornett, Morgan Brightwell, Susie Gunter, great senior class there, had phenomenal careers, were instrumental in this team winning a couple sectionals. Didn't get it done this year. That's okay. They still had a great high school career. Claire Samples as a freshman. Lexi Franklin returning as a senior next year. That'll kind of be where it starts for this team offensively. But there's some talent there, and obviously they've been able to sustain success for multiple years at a time. So I don't imagine there's going to be a huge drop-off with South Ripley basketball. Switzerland County at 13-12, they will be graduating Molly Reitzman, Courtney Higgins, Macy Collier, Hallie Archer, and Maddie Lavelle. All five played a key role on this team, but their deep team, Lauren Smith, Bree Stowe, Addie Kelso, Claire Rogers, all four of those young ladies played key minutes this season. So I think Brooke Todd's got a good team coming back next year. And for Milan, who lost to North Decatur in their sectional matchup, they're 4-19 this year, but no seniors. Emma Voss and Kaya Rainier, both double-digit scorers, so that's a good place to start coming back next year. You fill the team around those two with some good depth, and you see the win total increase significantly next year. At least that's the hope for the Milan Indians. In 1A, the number 18, Jackson Dell, 20-5, defeat Oldenburg Academy in the championship game. 15 points from Julia Meyer there. She had 20 in the semifinal against South Decatur. Second title in a row, Jackson Dell had previously won 12 in a row between 2009-2020, so maybe they're about to get on another lengthy streak. Lady Eagles going to move on to play Eminence at the Southwestern Regional on Saturday. Jackson Dell is a heavy favorite to advance to the two-round semi-state as Eminence is ranked 46. Second in the Sagarin in 1A, Jackson Dell is seventh. Yes, those numbers sometimes can be deceiving, but sometimes they don't lie either. There's a big discrepancy between these two teams. Jackson Dell should take care of business. Another 1A sectional, Rising Sun gets to the title game. Fall to Trinity Lutheran, who's won that sectional five times in a row. Solid year for Rising Sun, however. They went 9-14. Alyssa Simpson, if they give MVP in the ORVC, she should be it. Led the conference in scoring and rebounding. A phenomenal player and a great student as well. A Lilly Scholar winner in Ohio County. But will be Simpson, Jenna Peelman, and Nora Powell graduating in the spring. So losing a lot of scoring, but you do have Kerrigan Friend, Jalen Peelman, Hillary Lambert, Tamron Miller, among others that are experienced players that will be coming back. So I think Rising Sun got a good core coming back that is like I said, played a lot of high school basketball, so they should be able to, if not match the 9 wins, have more next season. So those regional pairings out of the local sectionals, Greensburg and Scottsburg, number 5 versus number 9, should be a fantastic game. North Decatur going to be an underdog against number 18 Linton Stockton at their 2A regional, and I mentioned Jacksonville, so there you go. And one final topic to get to here on this show this evening. Let's talk some swimming and diving as sectional play took place over the weekend. Do you call it sectional play when it's swimming? Maybe not. It was the sectional event. We'll go with that. And East Central, with their beautiful natatorium, hosting sectional 17. Bloomington South was the team champ. Local teams, East Central finished 4th behind South, Columbus North, and Bloomington North. South Dearborn was 7th, Batesville finished 8th, Rising Sun 9th, Milan was 11th, South Ripley 12th, Oldenburg 13th, and Lawrenceburg 14th. Advancing to state, Audrey Bumgardner was 1st sectional champion in the 50-yard free for East Central, so awesome job there. And 2, advancing to the regional dive round, Bree Cleary was 2nd. From East Central, and Bryn Hamlet from South Dearborn finished 3rd. So those 3 advancing on. And I did want to mention the sectional 18 at Floyd Central. Switzerland County placed 9th out of 16 teams, but a new school record in the 200 medley relay. Ava Cole, Eva Hicks, Molly Hicks, and Piper Taylor setting a record time of 2 minutes 14 seconds. And that's pretty awesome. They broke the record by almost 2 seconds. So a great job there. And then the Lady Pacers also broke a record in the 400 free relay. So, and a special thank you to the seniors Ava Cole and Kaylin Taylor from the Switzerland County Pacers Athletic X page. So while they didn't move on to the next round, they certainly had a memorable time at the sectional. So a feel-good story there for Switzerland County, and of course, the East Central and South Dearborn young ladies that are moving on to the state and or the regional dive round. So we'll continue to track their progress as well. And I said that was going to be the last topic, but I guess I lied, but maybe not really, because it's still swim related. Wanted to pass this along, this news I saw today, and I wrote a story about it over at EagleCountryOnline.com. A Northern Kentucky native going to the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. Her name is Mariah Dennigan. She is from Walton and currently swims at Indiana University, but is a part of the U.S. national team, and she finished 6th. In the women's 10K at the World Aquatics Championship over the weekend. So that is good enough to get her to the Olympics in Paris, where she becomes the 5th woman in U.S. history to qualify for the 10K, the 4th American athlete across, or 40th, excuse me, American athlete across all sports to qualify for the Paris Olympics, and the 2nd from Indiana. Not necessarily from Indiana, but goes to school at Indiana University, so I guess it still counts. So congratulations to Mariah Dennigan, Northern Kentucky native, going to be representing our part of the world at the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. So that is going to do it for the first half of Crunch Time. When we come back, we are going to talk to Dr. Gordon Young. You're listening to Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3. All right, joined now by Dr. Young with OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Want to first off thank you for joining the show. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Travis.
Absolutely. So we've had some doctors on before in the past. It's the first time we've met each other. So let's have you introduce yourself to the audience and tell a little bit about yourself and what you do at OrthoSensi.
This feels a lot like the first day of class, I guess, but my name is Gordon Young. I'm a podiatrist with OrthoSensi. I've been practicing in Cincinnati for a little over 20 years now, but very new to Lawrenceburg. We probably just started here within the last couple months. But as a podiatrist, I'm exclusively foot and ankle. You don't want me looking at your back or shoulder. We have plenty of other guys for that. So, but yeah, it's. It's a wonderful body part, which I'm fascinated by, and we like to see, we see a lot of athletes, but anybody, you know, anybody with a foot or ankle problem will definitely see. So
this would have been a hot topic this past June after I sprained my big toe playing a spike ball on the beach on vacation. We don't have to get into that, but I did go to Ortho Sensi and everyone got me back on my feet.
That's a fun way to do it, I guess. But
yeah, but it didn't feel good. But I know Ortho Sensi can help in all facets, and I know from experience having that foot injury last summer that they're going to take real good care of you, Dr. Yun, especially. But talking about high school athletics, that's big here in the Tri-State and here at Eagle Country 99.3. I get to talk about high school athletics every Monday, thanks to our friends at Ortho Sensi. But tell us a little bit about what you would recommend for young athletes to just have overall good foot health.
Well, that's a good question, because when we're in high school, especially, we're like in the prime of our lives, right? We don't even think about what could happen and things like that. It's not until you get a little older that things just happen. So as far as injury prevention, with the foot and ankle, because we put it in such a vulnerable position, you know, we're jumping up in the air, and when we land, who knows where your foot's going to be. So a lot of it you can't necessarily really prevent, I guess, because a lot of what we see in high school athletes would be just real traumatic type injuries, ankle sprains, broken ankles, things like that. But I guess if there's one preventative thing, is it's kind of like your car. You don't want to take it out of the garage and go from 0 to 100 miles per hour by the time you're at the end of the block. So a nice proper warm-up, you raise the body temperature, and that's pretty simple. Jump on a treadmill or take a light jog for about 5 minutes, just do that. That's probably the one thing you can do to try to prevent any type of injury. But again, it's hard to not twist the ankle.
Absolutely. It's a pesky injury. I played basketball in high school, and that was really the most common injury that I had was a rolled ankle or a jammed
finger. You're going to come down on somebody's foot, right?
Yeah. So that's probably the most common, but what are some of the other injuries that might pop up with our local athletes?
We'll see muscle, tendon strains, things like that. Again, for your high school kids, it's going to be pretty much sprains and breaks and things like that. Now, along those lines, I guess another preventative thing is the use of an ankle brace. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people ask me, should I be wearing braces? And it's kind of a tricky answer, because most people don't need to. But the research actually does show that you can prevent an ankle sprain by using an ankle brace. Now, the old school way of thinking was that if you use an ankle brace, it would actually rob you of strength and make you weaker and things like that. That actually has been debunked. I hear patients say that all the time, so it's something that really stuck with us. But the research kind of shows that that's really not true. So, you know, if people are concerned about it, it's usually because they've twisted their ankle before and they just don't want it to happen again. So using an ankle brace, and by ankle brace, I mean something a little more rigid. Mm. You know, some of these softer pull-on ankle braces, they're not doing anything. But something a little more rigid can, in theory, at least help try to prevent something. Now, you could still sprain your ankle. I mean, the Bengals, they tape up their ankles to the point where it's like a cast, and they still sprain their ankles. So, you know, we're just human that way.
I was going to give an add-on to that, because you mentioned ankle brace. Is there much difference between a brace and just old-fashioned taping of an ankle? I always felt more comfortable with a taped ankle than a brace. I just wonder what your opinion is on that.
Yeah, they've done studies on that, too. And there are some studies that show that the athletic tape, after 20 minutes, doesn't do anything.
Really?
So, you know, I hate to first your level, but it's probably more placebo than anything else after a while. But you know, that being said, that's a valuable type thing to feel secure, and certainly it being right up against your skin and you can make it as tight as you want, there is some security in that. But the studies kind of show that it's probably not as good as a rigid ankle brace.
Okay, so it is legitimately an old school
Yeah,
way of thinking.
There's a lot of old school things out there, which good and bad, I don't know. So,
well, kind of sticking with a similar theme, what about proper shoes or cleats or whatever it might be, depending on the particular sport?
Yeah, the athletic shoe industry is like a multi-billion-dollar industry, right? But really, you don't need to spend a whole lot of money to get a decent shoe. Most shoes will fit the bill. It's just the bottom line is your foot will tell you what's most comfortable. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have all these sports-specific shoes nowadays. And there's not a whole lot of research backing that you have to wear a basketball shoe to wear basketball and, you know, a volleyball shoe for volleyball. That there's very little science behind that. So the point of me saying this is I don't like it when people, they say, oh, I spent $200 on these and they're not comfortable, things like that. It's like, well, it's going to correlate very little to that. The more important thing is actually what you're doing in the shoe and how the shoe fits. So, and then that's really, it doesn't have much to do with what it says on the side of the shoe or anything like that. So don't get caught up in that too much.
Sure. We're talking with Dr. Yun with OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. And one of the terms that comes up often when we're talking with the fine folks from the OrthoSensi is overuse. Athletes nowadays, they seem like they're just playing every day, all year round, whatever sport it might be. Are overuse injuries common in young athletes? Are you seeing that?
Actually, probably we are seeing that much more nowadays because, like, when I was a kid, this was, like, back in the 80s, late 70s, 80s, things like that. Believe it or not, like, baseball was during baseball season, basketball was during basketball season, so on and so on. Now you can pick any sport you want and play it 365 days a year if you really wanted to. So we do tell families to kind of take a break in between. The American Pediatric Association actually came out with guidelines because sports are just everywhere nowadays. And that you probably want to shut it down for like 2 weeks in between sports or seasons just to let your body recover. The more common overuse injuries that I see, at least, usually affect our even younger patients, like between 7 and 13. We'll see a lot of heel pain, or something called Sievers disease. It's not a serious injury, but it just doesn't go away unless we are more aggressive with resting those patients. And really, it's not a fancy treatment at all. It's just kind of shutting it down for them. So.
When it comes to injuries, often hear the term "listen to our bodies." Maybe there's some signs that you need to shut it down.
Yeah.
When it comes to foot and ankle, what are some of those signs? What does "listen to our body" mean in that regard?
Well, pain. Somebody once said, "Pain is God's greatest gift to man." Right. It just tells us when something's wrong. But you know, man, as smart as we think we are, we also came up with a saying, no pain, no gain, right? Mm-hmm. So where does this all kind of lay out? I would say that, yeah, we have to listen to our body. If something is consistently painful when we're doing a certain thing, that is telling you something. So at least maybe get it checked out at that point. Because this adage of like, no pain, no gain, and you know, you break through a wall, other side you'll be fine. That doesn't often apply to a lot of foot and ankle problems. It's not like you can will something away or make, you know, run through it and things like that. So it's always better just to get it checked out.
Absolutely, and I know there's some stubbornness out there for folks. I'm like that. You know, you want to keep playing, things of that nature.
Without a doubt, yeah.
There's no real good transition here from foot and ankle injuries to this topic, but there is other things that can harm your feet. Athlete's foot kind of maybe comes to mind, but what are some of the tips to avoid some of those things?
Yeah, all these things we can't see, right? Especially after COVID, you know, viruses, fungus, bacteria. There are so many more of those things than there are of us. So we're really outnumbered. So the single greatest thing to prevent those things, those types of infections, would be to create some kind of barrier between you and whatever is lurking in there. The most common place for an athlete is the wet tiled surface, like instead of shower room, locker room. If you could use, shower sandals, that helps tremendously. Any nicks and cuts you want to keep covered, Band-Aid, just any type of physical barrier does help. Now, ultimately, a lot of those things, especially the more common foot problems like plantar warts and, even athlete's foot to a certain degree, a lot of that has a lot to do with your own natural immune system. So if you remember, like in grade school, there were always some kids who just seemed to be sick and absent from school because they had a cold. Well, viruses cause like plantar warts, so your susceptibility to that virus is probably all predetermined. So you can blame your parents, if anything, I guess, for that. So, but yeah, just... try not to step on these things so much.
Sure. And we've hit on a lot of things. Is there anything else you'd like to add that maybe I missed asking about?
No, I mean, as far as what we see in the office, a lot of broken bones, it's more what we can do after the fact that it happens. So I think we pretty much covered most of it. So.
I guess this would be a good one. If somebody has a foot or ankle injury and they need to come see you, where can they find you at?
Well, OrthoCincy, we have a central scheduling line. The number escapes me right now. But, we have several different offices all over Cincinnati. So calling the central scheduling line to see where you want to be seen, that'd be the easiest way.
And I'll throw one curveball at you because we didn't discuss this prior, but it is a sports show. So I'll ask if you have any sports interest, anything that you're paying attention to in the sports world right now.
I'm just like everybody else. I love watching sports on TV. It doesn't really matter what. As far as playing sports, there's nothing really I'm good at. So once I realized that I can't run, jump, and kick anymore, I like watching sports more than anything else. So.
Sure. I like watching, and the one sport I do play is very leisurely. You might know where I'm going with this. It's golf.
Well, the way I play, I tend to do a lot of walking.
Yeah.
So it's not so leisurely after a while. So.
Do you have a pick for the big football game on Sunday?
You know what? I think I'm like the rest of the country. I don't want to see the Chiefs win again.
I'm with you on that for sure, especially being a Bengals fan. I got to root for the other guys, even though the other guys have a history against the Bengals in the big game. So
Well, we'll be back there sooner or later.
I think so, and that might be a good way to end it, a little positivity that the Bengals are going to make a run sooner rather than later. Thank you so much to Dr. Young. Remember, for sports work and everyday orthopedic injuries, including your feet, OrthoCincy is the orthopedic authority. Learn more at OrthoCincy.com. That's OrthoCincy with a Y. And that's going to do it for our show this evening. Again, big thanks to Dr. Gordon Young for stopping by and talking about foot and ankle injuries, prevention, and overall health. And hopefully you enjoyed recaps of the girls' sectional basketball games from over the weekend, wrestling regionals, and swimming and diving sectionals as well. We'll continue to track all of our area student athletes and teams as they navigate the postseason. We have some more boys basketball to get to this week. South Ripley hosting South Dearborn, 7:10 pregame coverage this Friday, 7:30 tip-off, Raiders and Knights on your hometown radio station as we inch closer to the boys' basketball postseason play. But thank you again for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. Again, presented by our friends at OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here at Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.